tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio. Welcome to This Miraculous Life on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and so I started this podcast because I have a belief that life is fucking amazing, and my hope for myself and everybody else on the planet is that we are able to realize that and live a life that is aligned with that truth. And so the goal of this podcast is to tune in with the miraculousness of life, that fucking amazingness, and be able to tune out and liberate ourselves from the bullshit. So happy holidays. And today we are actually going to be talking about the holidays and talking about the expectations around the holidays versus, you know, how things actually play out. So I actually put a post on Facebook and asked people for questions, you know, concerns, things that happen around the holidays for them that might be relevant for us to address in the show. And I got some great questions. So today I am going to address a few of them together with my good pal, Alexia Brown. Hey, hi. Alexia.
I'm really honored that you called me your good pal. Yes, I'm excited.
I mean, I feel that you are. Honestly, this is probably sad. This is going to show something about my life, but I probably talk at least as much with you on this show as I do with my very best friends. So that means you're my, like, one of my very best friends at this point.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right. So Alexia, are you ready to hear the holiday questions that we have?
Oh my gosh, definitely. Yes.
I'm kind of excited about this. Honestly, these questions are very relevant to my own life. So I have a personal stock in the answers that I'm giving today. I'm giving myself advice, basically. All right, here we go. So here's what some folks have said. What can I do about the expectation around the holidays versus the reality? In other words, everyone seems to expect you to be extra happy and perfect around the holidays. You're supposed to be jolly and cheerful. Your home is supposed to look gorgeous. Your cooking is supposed to be mouthwatering. And you're supposed to make wonderful, flawless memories with all of your family members and friends. Oh, and buy everyone thoughtful, yet not cheap, yet not too expensive gifts. Brilliant. What happens when instead my house is a mess, I am exhausted, and instead of making perfect memories, I begin losing my patience with people around me? Wow. What a beautiful set of questions. And I know I can relate. Can you relate, Alexia?
That's very relatable. I will, like, go home and try to decorate my house to be, like, very cozy, and warm and fresh and inviting. And my family just doesn't comply with me sometimes. So I definitely get it. And I think even stepping more into that, like, having a very Instagrammable holiday experience is important. Yeah, that's very real pressure.
Totally. Yeah, I can relate to all of this. I can't say that gift giving is my love language, and we can get into that. So I can relate to that. It's like, you're supposed to get everybody these thoughtful gifts, and then you're not supposed to, it's like bad if you ruin your own budget. That's like morally bad. And even the people who you got the gifts for would be like mad at you if they knew that you spent too much money. But then they would also be mad if it appeared that you didn't spend enough or at least enough time or energy or whatever. So I think these are fabulous questions. So let's dive in. So really, and really what the question comes down to me is, what do we do about the expectation of everything being wonderful and awesome and picture perfect and personality perfect and relationship perfect around the holidays versus how do we accept the reality of what actually happens around the holidays, which is that perhaps things are even more exhausting and impatient and messy than an average day. So it's kind of the opposite. So let's dive in. I have a number of ideas. And like I said, these questions are very relevant to my own life. So a lot of these ideas are things that I've not only talked about with clients and encouraging them to implement, but also that I am encouraging myself and working on implementing in my own life. So the first tip that I have is that managing the expectations versus the reality of the holidays is highly influenced by our ability to avoid overcommitting ourselves. So the first tip that I have is basically do not overcommit. And when I say do not overcommit, what I really mean is think about how your holidays are going to go. Think about the plans that have been requested of you. You know, maybe you've been requested to attend 3 holiday parties. Maybe you've been requested to attend 13 holiday parties. You know, maybe you've been invited to go to your family home for the holidays. You know, maybe somebody has suggested that you invite people over for the holidays. And then let's say you even have a partner and then their family has also requested that at some point during the holiday season, you visit them. So far we already have 2 trips in this vision and 1 hosting, right? So that sounds like a lot. And I'm sure that people listening can relate with that. This vision that I just put forth of, you know, you're expected to maybe travel to your family, travel to a partner's family, and then also host something yourself for friends or family that are local to where you live. Sounds like a ton, but I don't think that it's too far-fetched in terms of people's actual experience of what is expected of them around the holidays. And so what this suggestion means is getting really mindful about all of the plans that are available to you and trying hard not to overextend yourself. And so what this tip ultimately translates into is setting boundaries. And setting boundaries is not an easy thing to do, perhaps especially around the holidays. But the way that I like to think about it is that if we are able to set boundaries, then ultimately we do everyone a favor, right? Even if they're not happy about it initially. Because if we set boundaries and we do not overextend ourselves, then we will have a more pleasant holiday. And everyone around us will have a more pleasant holiday because we won't be as overextended and we will have a little bit more energy, a little bit more patience for the people around us. That doesn't mean things are going to go perfectly, but if we avoid overcommitting, then we increase the chances that we're not going to lose our patience or get into a drag down blowout argument with every person in our family, right? And so I want to give a practical example of what this might look like. So I'm thinking it through. So for example, this overcommitting, what this looks like. So if you're thinking about taking a trip for the holidays, this is a personal example. This is my life, just FYI. So if you're thinking about taking a trip for the holidays, we have been invited by my family to go on a trip post-holiday so that we'll spend Christmas at our home and then my husband's family hosts a holiday party. So we'll visit them on Christmas Day. you know, some years we go to my family home, which is in upstate New York. But this year my mom planned a trip for us to sort of meet in the middle after the holidays and spend some time together, you know, not on Christmas Day, so that neither of us have to be in two places at once or make a long commute, you know, on Christmas Eve. So we've been invited to go on this trip after the holidays, which is amazing. And by the way, my mother, who planned the trip, was excited about the trip, and she planned the trip regardless of whether my husband and I could attend, right? So that's important. She made the plans. She wanted to go to this place. She invited us. She was hoping that we could come. And we're excited about that, but she didn't include us in the planning, right? And she was clear that, look, like, this is something that I was excited about. If you can't make it, that would be disappointing. But I, you know, I knew when I planned this that I did not have confirmation that you would be there, right? So that's important. So we've been invited to go on this post-holiday trip. And I'm like, okay, cool. How are we going to make this work? And right this year, Christmas is on a Monday. Christmas Eve is on Monday. And my family does celebrate Christmas. So for the purpose of this story, we're talking about Christmas. So Christmas Eve is on a Monday. Christmas Day is on a Tuesday. Most people have to be back at work, and school restarts on Wednesday. So that means, and also Christmas Eve is on a Monday, and then New Year's Eve is on a Monday, and then New Year's Day is on a Tuesday. Is that right, you guys? Alexia, do you know? Okay. So that's actually what we're talking about. So here's what setting of the boundaries and not overcommitting yourself looks like. So when I'm thinking about this trip, my initial thought is that, okay, so the maximum that we can stay, the trip is to Pennsylvania, is that we could leave the weekend of Christmas, which is when the reservation starts, and we can stay at this vacation until Tuesday night, right? New Year's Day, right? We can drive home New Year's Day, maybe have a New Year's Day brunch. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, so that's we could stay, we could do all of that. That would be the maximum that we could stay. Okay, so once you figure out the maximum that you can do, the way that you can implement this not overcommitting yourself suggestion is to then take two steps back from the maximum that you could do. So if the maximum that I could do is leave on Tuesday night, drive home, get myself ready to restart work and get the kids ready to restart school on Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. Okay, cool. That's an option. That would maximize time with my family. My family would love that. Okay, so then if I take a step back from that, then I'm like, okay, that might be kind of stressful. Maybe we should plan to leave on Tuesday morning so that we have the whole day of New Year's Day to drive home. And then by the time we get home, you know, we'll maybe have time to prepare dinner for the following day, get the kids ready for school, make sure that my iPad is charged for work tomorrow, get to bed at a reasonable hour. Okay, that seems reasonable, right? But then my step of not making sure that you do not overcommit yourself would ask me to then take one more step back even from that, right? So take a step back, not only from the most you can do, but then another step back from what you think is potentially reasonable to do, then step back from that. So then that I arrive at, okay, so if it's reasonable to potentially leave Tuesday morning, then what I am going to commit to is coming home on Monday. Okay. So in other words, I am going to tell my family that we are not going to spend New Year's Eve at the Airbnb in Pennsylvania, because if we come home on New Year's Eve, then we can celebrate New Year's Eve at home. And then we will have all day on Tuesday to
get our shit together, prepare for school, prepare for work, have food in the house, basically not set ourselves up for the 3 days following New Year's Eve and New Year's Day to be a stress-ridden shit show, okay, is the way that I would put it. So what this step means is when you're looking at your holiday plans, I want you to first look at, usually the thing we naturally look at is what is the maximum I can commit to, okay? And then the next step is what do I want to commit to, or what seems reasonable, right? What seems defensible, okay? So figure out what that is. And then I want you to, whatever you figure out seems reasonable or defensible or is what you would be inclined to commit to, I want you to commit to one step lower than that, like one day less than that, or one party less than that, or one trip less than that, okay? So that is the meaning of this step. Take a look at the big picture, figure out the max you could commit to, what seems reasonable or defensible to commit to, and then commit to less than that. Make sense? Alexia, can you tell me if this step is making sense to you?
Yes, that makes a ton of sense. And the thing that I like the most about it is, even if you say, like, I'm going to take two steps back from what my, like, actual capacity is, which is something that I need to learn to do.
I'm learning too.
Let's say that, like, you're having a lot of fun with your family, or, like, there's something else that you encounter that you'd like to do, you can then reverse it and say,
exactly,
like, I did budget for this time. So let's, you know, we don't have to go home on Monday, I think you're saying. Like,
yeah,
let's keep going. So it's really, it's a good tool.
Exactly. And I think that's an amazing point, Alexi. And I think that's a big part of the idea of this step is that you should always set yourself up to, if you feel like it, and if you feel you have more energy than expected, that you can increase your commitment rather than feel trapped by the commitment that you've already made and then feel like you're putting in a position where you have made yourself have to go and say, we're going to leave early. And then that is never a good feeling. And people, you know, read into that. So set yourself up to leave early. Say, we're leaving early. This is what's going to work for us. You know, this is what sets us up for success. And the truth is, probably leaving at that time is what's going to feel good. Because, you know, the other point in the question about that we're expected to always be happy and have tons of extra energy around the holidays, when the reality is that we often feel kind of drained around the holidays. So probably you'll want to leave earlier than what you thought when you were planning it. And so what I'm saying is, commit to less than what you think you want to commit to. And then when you get to that point, if you actually have extra energy, then you can always increase your commitment. But it's always better to undercommit than overcommit. Okay, so that's number one. The second thing plays into this question about energy and managing our energy. And this is something that comes up all of the time with clients that I'm talking to. And the person who wrote me the question said there's an expectation to be extra happy, to be cheerful. And something that I encounter when I'm talking with clients about the holiday is that those of us who have a busy life, particularly a busy work schedule, kind of there's this story propagated that the holidays, because you have vacation days, that the holidays are going to be rejuvenating and relaxing, and that this is going to be a time to recharge and sort of restore the depleted reserves that you have. And what I have to say to that is that the holidays are not a time to restore and recharge. So here's where we're getting into my personal opinion, and this is my show, so that's what I'm going to give. It is my belief that the holidays, whatever holidays it is that we celebrate, is not to be thought of as a vacation in the sense of a time for relaxation, for rest, for ease, for restoration. It is my belief that is a fallacy, and that if we expect to restore and recharge during the holidays, we are going to be badly disappointed And that if we don't show up to the holidays, including our vacation days, with the understanding that those days are likely to not only not be restorative, but also to be more, to demand even more energy than our day-to-day experience often, then we are going to return to our everyday life really having deeply misused and mismanaged our energy. And so the reason why I believe that the holidays are not a time to restore and recharge is because for most people, the holidays are a time to invest in family, to invest in friendships, to invest in relationships, to put time and energy, frankly, into everyone except for yourself, right? This is the reality of how the holidays are designed. Generally, you travel, you go, you see multiple people, you buy gifts for other people. Usually you're sleeping in a strange bed, not the bed that you sleep in every night. Grandpa might be next door snoring his ass off. You know, your mom might have insomnia and get up at the crack of dawn to start making all of the food for Christmas Day, banging pots and pans, knocking on your door to see when you're ready to help. Or maybe you're hosting, so you're getting up at the crack of dawn to start baking food, cooking food for everybody else, right? Buying holiday gifts at the last minute, singing carols, lighting candles, you know, saying a blessing that your family has requested that you say, you know, all of these things, remembering to send holiday cards to friends, whatever traditions it is that you participate in, those traditions, I believe, are rich. They are important. They're valuable. They are memories. They are the things that when we look back at our life, we think of those things. We remember Christmas Day. You know, for those who celebrate other holidays, I presume that those other holidays are also very memorable, that the time you spend getting together, gathering with others, sharing food, sharing community, sharing stories, those days, those holidays are memorable. They're significant. They're time to connect. But what they are not is time to rest, relax, and restore, right? And so to me, it is very valuable to make that distinction and enter into the holidays with that understanding that this time that I'm entering into, these days that I have off for work, these days are for investing in relationships, right? Or for making memories, or for participating in holiday traditions, right? And that is the purpose. That is the value of these days. And I just think that if we think we are going to go into those days and get some restoration, get some rest, that is unrealistic, and that there really is not time for both of those things during the holiday season, and that we should plan our holidays such that we simply are able to come back from the holidays not feeling more depleted than when we left. And I believe that if we go into it with the mindset that this time is not meant for rest, this time is meant for connection, for memory making, for fun, right? For tradition, whatever it is for you, unless this is a time when you do get to have a lot of alone time, right? I think that it is helpful if we are able to go into an understanding that that is the priority during this time. That is the benefit, right? That's what we're going to gain from it. That is the richness that we receive from the holidays. It is not a benefit of feeling really relaxed and rested and restored when we return. And if we understand that, then we can manage our energy accordingly and return not feeling resentful that we are so exhausted, right? And perhaps manage our energy a bit better so that we can return not necessarily feeling restored energetically, but at least not feeling more depleted than when we left. Alexia, I'm interested to hear what you think about this particular point of, you know, that the holidays are actually not a time to rest and restore, and rather a time for tradition or connection or whatever it may be. And on that, so I'm curious what you think about that point. And on that, if that also rings true with your family's celebration around the holidays.
Yeah. Something else that I thought about, you opened up space for the possibility that, like, you might go home for the holidays and it might be your least favorite time,
right?
Because of relationships that you have with people, or like things that have happened in that space that you're in your home. There are a lot of triggers that could come up during the holiday season.
Absolutely.
And so what you said opens up space for the possibility that, like, yeah, this may not be a time for you to be restored and feel rejuvenated and to relax. But maybe you need to prepare a little bit to go into that. And that preparation and that honesty is totally okay. That this isn't like the most peachy time of the year for people. That piece as well is incredibly important. Definitely something that resonates with me in my own holiday experiences, shenanigans and whatnot.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And that's a point I want to address more a little bit later, is the question of, so what if these memories that you're making or the time that you're spending with your family is challenging in ways, you know, and sometimes you're spending time with people who you find difficult to spend time with. How do you prepare for that? How do you integrate that into the expectation and not have that diminish the quality of your holiday experience? Great point. Amazing. So the third thing that I want to talk about is the actual season of gift giving. And I know that, you know, people who celebrate Christmas give a lot of gifts. But I also know from my experience that many of my friends who are Jewish also give a lot of gifts, that gift giving has become a part of the Hanukkah season for many as well. And I'm not sure, Alexia, do you celebrate Christmas? Do you celebrate any other holidays?
Yeah, I celebrate Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my observation is that even amongst friends that I have who do not celebrate Christmas, they still are expected to give gifts around the holidays. And so I do want to give one quick tip on gift giving, which is founded in the science of positive psychology. And what we understand from the science of positive psychology is that having more stuff does not increase your happiness. But having experiences can contribute to your happiness. And so what I encourage people to think about in terms of gift giving is, rather than feel the pressure to buy and haul around at the holidays tons of stuff, to think about, for the people who you do want to show that you are thinking of them and want to give some kind of a gift, to consider giving the gift of an experience rather than a thing. And an experience can be anything from inviting them to, you know, go for a long walk with you on a Saturday and grab a coffee, right? To buying tickets to a concert to attend with them. And now that I have children in my home and have a home, I have also realized the tremendous benefit of accumulating less stuff, right? So the added bonus of not giving tons of stuff at the holidays, and, you know, I think it's fine I think it's fine to give some stuff. But what I also realize, and again, the science speaks to this, is that having a home that is full of things and full of clutter does not make people happy, right? Is not conducive to a thriving mind and happiness. So the added benefit of giving people experiences rather than stuff is that if those people live with you, right? Or if you have to go and live with them at certain times a year, you're not filling their house with stuff, and you will have a more open and free space to live in. And you'll also have had this, you know, hopefully enjoyable experience with them if you choose to give an experience. So that's just one suggestion that relates with the science, which is that having more stuff does not contribute to measurements of happiness, but having enjoyable experiences does. And they say that money cannot buy happiness, but if we have money to spend, the thing that we should spend it on that will actually contribute to experiencing positive emotions is experiences, right? So if we can choose between spending our money on a big screen TV or a vacation, there is evidence that going on a vacation will contribute significantly more to your overall happiness. So that's just one tip in terms of the gift giving. And then the last thing that I want to talk about relates with Alexia's point of what happens if, you know, going home or going to friends, wherever it is that you spend time for the holidays, includes some social anxiety, or, you know, isn't always the most wonderful experience, or there's some stress there, or there's somebody who's difficult to get along with. And so I think that that probably happens for a lot of people. I wonder if it's even more than half of people. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. So here is what I think. The experience that spending time with friends, with family at the holidays is not always, you're not having fun in every minute of that experience. I think that that is a normal experience, and I think it's one that we should prepare ourselves for. And I think that it's important for us, if that is our experience, or if we think that might be our experience, I think that it's important that we talk to ourselves in advance about why we are still participating, right? Or why it's important to us to participate. So I'll share about myself, and then I'll share some experiences that I have with other people or with clients. But my personal experience is that I have great relationships with my nuclear family, with my parents, with my sibling, with my grandparents. I love spending time with them. You know, I enjoy their company. There's never a sense that they don't accept me or that they don't accept my husband or my family. There's never sort of those drag down blowout arguments that I described. But what I do experience is sometimes I experience some social anxiety, and I experience this not just with my family, but also with friends, particularly when I am hosting and around the holidays. And I think that the reason why relates with the expectations, right? I think that in my mind, I want it to be perfect. I want it to be really wonderful. I want both to have time for myself and not feel like too much is being demanded of me, and yet also feel that I've pleased everyone, right? I am a people pleaser at times. I would say one of my demons, we've talked about the core values and the demons in previous episodes, and I think I've shared one of my demons is likability. So that demon sort of taunts me at times, especially times like the holidays or hosting a party, because I have in the back of my mind questions about, you know, does everybody like the way that I'm behaving? Is everybody having a good time? I'm sort of not only thinking about my own experience, but also sort of noticing the experience that other people are having. And not most of this is not happening on a conscious level, but I just find that sometimes during the holidays, you know, big gatherings, I have this low level of anxiety. Sometimes I'll get a headache, you know, it's not, frankly, it's not the time that I would consider my favorite Saturday, right? Like what my favorite Saturday looks like is getting up late, going to the gym, having a leisurely walk home from the gym, you know, going to grab brunch with my family, going home and picking up the house and watching a movie and going to bed. That would be my ideal Saturday, right? So I lead a really rebellious and wild life, you guys. But that would be my ideal day, okay? That is when I feel like I'm at my peak sort of joyfulness. And for me, that is not what the holidays look like, right? So there is a feeling that is like, it feels like it's supposed to be my most joyful Saturday, but it's not, right? Because my most joyful Saturday is when I don't have any commitments or obligations to pretty much anybody else, right? And that is the opposite of what is the case during the holidays. And so what I encourage on this last step is to really think about, you know, if you have the experience where during the holidays, maybe you experience some anxiety, maybe you experience some stress, maybe it's not your most joyful time, maybe you expect to have some friction with family members, maybe you expect to disagree on some things. I think it's important to think about why you are doing it anyways, right? And there should indeed be a reason. So I am going to go and spend time with my family, even though I probably won't say this was my favorite Saturday of the year. This is the Saturday when I felt the most bliss, right? But I'm doing it because it matters tremendously to me to have those relationships with my family, to have those holiday memories with my family, right? To invest in my closeness with my grandmother, right? Or with my brother. Those things matter a lot to me. And the days spent investing in that might not be my most blissful days. And I think that it's important to prepare myself for that and just acknowledge that that's okay. That is part of the package. Just because it's the holidays and I'm investing in the relationship with my family doesn't mean that it has to also be my happiest day of the year. There are other benefits to things besides just feeling like this was your most blissful day of the year, right? And so I think the same goes for people who experience social anxiety, which is that participating in holiday traditions, coming downstairs for the holiday party, traveling across country for the holiday party, there may be a strong inclination to not do that because of what I talked about. You know, maybe you'll get a headache. Maybe it will feel like kind of a stressful day. If the debate is between avoiding an emotion that is uncomfortable, right? Avoiding some discomfort versus doing something that has some meaning, I think that we should choose doing something that has some meaning. And so this is my way of saying that the final point that I have, an idea that I have about overcoming the expectations versus the reality, is to prepare yourself that the time spent with others during the holiday might also include some uncomfortable emotions. And to understand that that is part of the package, and in understanding that that's part of the package, to have a clear reason and understanding of why you are participating anyway, right? And when you feel that discomfort come up, to tap into that reason. And even if you feel anxious or feel a little bit stressed or feel a little bit irritated with somebody, if you tap into that reason and it resonates, to do it anyway, right? To participate anyway, to show up to the party anyway, even though you might have a headache when you get home, right? Or even though you might feel anxiety in your body, right? Or even though it might not be the most blissful, relaxing way to spend the day. So this suggestion is kind of twofold. It's one, to understand that there may be some discomfort that comes up during interactions during the holidays, and to have a clear reason why it is worth it to you to participate in spite of that discomfort. And if you do have a clear reason to participate anyway, to do it anyway, when the discomfort does show up. So, Alexi, I want to check in because I feel like this point relates with the point that you had about what if going home does mean interacting with some people who, you know, it might be difficult to interact with. Does this integrate to you?
Yeah, I think like asking the question of why sounds kind of angsty, but like, it makes a lot of sense. I think like I'm a person who's very purpose driven. So for me, that makes a lot of sense. I ask myself why. And it's not about even necessarily Christmas for me. Like the reason why is because quality time is the way that I express that I love people right. by giving them my time. So even removing the like, I'm doing the, keep questioning yourself, right? Like you're not just doing this just because it's the holiday and like this is the right thing to do. And or maybe you are and you can't dig past that, which is also very illuminating. So it makes a lot of sense just to like keep digging about that why, and try to see if that resonates with you, and whatever the outcome is totally okay. But at least you have somewhere to like direct your action after that.
Totally.
Yeah,
exactly. Brilliant. So this is what I've got for you all today. I hope that it's helpful in navigating the holidays because they are upon us. And I would encourage, I have some words of encouragement, which is that after listening to this episode, if you find that you have already overcommitted, there's always next year. and or you could just play this show for your family and tell them that, you know, you've done some deep thinking and you want to change your commitment. And I hope that they will honor that. So I want to summarize the how of tackling the expectations versus the reality of the holidays this year. So the first thing that I shared was not overcommitting and overextending yourself. And the tip was this: take a look at all of the parties, all of the trips, all of the things that you have been invited to or that are options for you. Understand what is the maximum you can commit to. Understand what you are inclined to commit to. And then commit to something less than what you are inclined to commit to, right? So take three steps back and then commit to that, okay? The second thing was to have an understanding that the holidays are not a time for rest and relaxation and rejuvenation unless you decide that that's what your holiday is for and basically reclaim your holiday for yourself, right? But the way that the holidays are traditionally set up, if your family has expectations of you, if your friends have expectations of you, understand that the holiday vacation is not a relaxing, restful vacation. It is something else. There are other benefits of it, and it is in your interest to understand it in terms of those other benefits and not in terms of a rest, and to manage your energy accordingly so that when you return, you expect not to be rested, but to hopefully have managed your energy well enough that when you return from the holiday, you are not more depleted than when you began. The third thing, it relates with gift giving. So for everyone who does give gifts during the holidays, my suggestion is that if you are expected to give many gifts or big gifts to people, that you consider, rather than giving a thing, to give an experience. And the benefit of that is twofold. One is that there is evidence that experiences increase our happiness, things do not, right? And also that having less stuff in your home and other people having less stuff in their home is also conducive to happiness. And the final point is, understanding that interacting during the holidays, interacting, spending time with family and friends may bring with it some discomfort, okay? And accepting that discomfort and clarifying yourself why you plan to participate and engage anyway. And as Lexia said, having a clear why am I going to engage and participate in spite of the discomfort that may come up? You should have a clear why. If you don't, then you should perhaps change your plans. And when the discomfort does come up, to tap into that why and participate anyway. In other words, not giving in to the urge to withdraw, right? Or to disengage because of the discomfort. Because the discomfort was always going to be there. You planned for it. And avoidance of the discomfort is not why you showed up. So I hope that this not just makes the holidays a little bit easier, but helps us to understand the holidays more realistically, you know? And I think just simply managing our expectations around the holidays and approaching the holidays from a place of really accepting and embracing all that they bring, the joy, the fun, the excitement, but also the stress, the anxiety, the exhaustion, integrating that into the plan, which is what I think all four of these steps really do, I think can make the holidays feel so much better, right? And not leave us at the end of it feeling drained or resentful. And I think that, you know, the expectation discourages us from integrating the more difficult emotions and experiences into our plans for the holidays. So I hope that you all have not just a happy holiday, but also a holiday that is real and that honors that there's more to life than just being blissful all the time. So thanks for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you next. Feel free to email your letters, your questions to sarah@thismiraculouslife.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.